Miss the Southwick House Turkey Day Dash Thanksgiving morning.
KVOE live and local. Good morning, 826, 52 degrees in cloud cover. And that brings us to What's In Outdoors with Phil Totten. What's In Outdoors brought to you by Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50. If Blue Stem does not have it, well, it's probably not around. That's how that works. And also by Express Tire and Auto on East 12th near the Water Tower. John and Jenny and the exceptional crew at Express Tire and Auto, always taking great care of you. And on a Friday morning, we say hello to Phil Totten down in Council Grove. Phil, how you doing today?
Well, I'm here at Studio North, Ron, looking out sort of a dreary, gloomy old day. I tell you, Studio North isn't very appealing this morning. I'm thinking about the spring and when with the wildflowers starting to come up and everything, so trying to keep optimistic today, Ron.
Well, hey, we need that rainfall, though, Phil, and we picked up about 1.6 inches. You got well over 1 inch there, it sounds like, huh?
Yes, it's a nice rain. It's going to make the ground a little bit easier for me to work. Ginger's been talking to me about the wild space area is really getting where the wild things roam, so I need to get a little bit of compliance out there to fit her thoughts with that. But no, the season's definitely changing. I'll tell you, we've been blessed with the weather coming into the fall, and we'll get into a fall fishing report second segment of the show. But with the seasons changing, we also have another season coming up, Ron. Of course, upland game bird season opened the first week in November. Well, it's actually the second Saturday in November, which to me was the first week this year. But I have mixed reports on the upland game bird hunting. People are finding birds, but to me it was always going out with the dogs and getting with the people and getting a little bit of exercise. And that one find would make a successful hunt for me. But with seasons changes, we also have another season coming up in Kansas, and it's a relative, to me anyway, new season. I never have trout fished or fished for trout. Many years ago, Bill Hartman, he wanted to introduce me to fly fishing. So on a December 12th day, he invited me out to a watershed, and we donned wetsuits and got in a float and used fly rods, and goodness, did we catch the crappie.
Wow.
But if you had said this southern boy would have been out in a Kansas pond on December 12th, I thought that was pretty weird, but we had a successful day. And since then, though, the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks has become stocking trout in Kansas, and I don't really remember when that program started, but I do visit Payrock every once in a while during the trout season and talk to the fishermen out there, and they have quite a program going there, and I just got to give Alec a tip of the hat with everything that she's doing there at Payrock with the programs, the outreach programs, and even heard that they're entertaining birthday parties there to give the kids a little bit of outdoor education while they're celebrating their birthdays. So that's something that just keeps going on. But they will be stocking trout in the lakes in Kansas, and the season starts December 1. So I asked a person a little bit more knowledgeable, well, a whole lot more knowledgeable about trout fishing and the season in Kansas to join us on the show today, and that'd be Jeff Connolly. He is with Wildlife and Parks, and he is a fishing program specialist. So, Jeff, what can you tell us about the history of the trout program in Kansas?
Well, it kind of started over in eastern Kansas there with in Don George district around Fort Scott. He started stocking some trout over there for another opportunity at Gun Lake or Gun Park Lake, and then it kind of from there it was just kind of a unique program for that lake in particular, and then it kind of saw that there was some want there, and in 1995 I believe, I'm not 100% on the history, but that's at least that's when the first reg, or not the first reworking of the regs to allow for a larger stocking program, so that we could do this around the state and work towards getting a kind of a distribution where we had this winter fishing opportunity around the entire state. And through that time, you know, we've expanded it. We have a stocking program with we mainly focus on state-owned properties, but we do have a few of our community partners that we stock fish off a state contract that we use outside vendors from other states that can grow trout, because we can't grow trout in our state because all we have is warm water. They need a cold water to be able to, you know, produce trout. So that it kind of expanded from there, and now we're reaching a time where we, you know, where the participation isn't necessary because commiserate with the amount of as high as the fish prices have gone up. So we've kind of reworked the season now. We've shortened it through December 1st through March 31st, just to kind of shrink that stocking period, because we have to put all the fish in, of course, because they're not going to overwinter or oversummer in this case very well. You know, once they get lethal temperature that around June or so, they can't survive in most situations. We do have a few survive that can find a thermocline that they can make it out in, but that's only a few rare fish that do that. So, yeah. So we've got 32 spots all around the state that, with our CFAP program, we give some money to our communities to help stock some of those smaller waters around the state to kind of give more opportunities in some of those community lakes as well. So a lot of this is worked through our federal aid program so that we have enough, you know, revenue to make it happen. So
is the trout fishing pretty popular in Kansas since this program has came in, Jeff? I know the people I talk to and visit there at Payrock, they really enjoy it. It gives them another season, another opportunity. And I do a lot of things on social media, and I did ask some questions. Some people wanted to know, were trout native to Kansas? And, you know, I know growing up, in the 50s, I explored quite a lot of bit of the outdoors and everything. And I remember when I first saw the first deer in 1965, I saw the wild turkey in 73 and 74, and just some stocking programs. And, of course, the deer weren't stocked. I think they increased the habitat, and maybe the reservoirs have made Kansas one of the premier deer states. But with stocking and bringing in, like, the trout, just how is that funded, and what pays for that so we can, appreciate that resource?
Yeah, we do have a permit that gains us some extra revenue on top of our fishing license revenue to allow for the trout stocking. So we have it's a $20 permit for a Kansas angler, and a $7 for youth permit, and that allows you to harvest, you know, five trout at most sites. There's a couple that only allow two, but you know that's kind of where it comes from and how we get the revenue for it. But you know, we don't as far as popularity. Yeah, the trout permit doesn't pay for all the fish, unfortunately. So we have this year up the price a little bit on the regular trout permit to hopefully gain some more revenue. We've also added some more properties in some urban areas, like around at Kansas City, at Shawnee Mission Park Lake, Kill Creek Lake, that formerly the Johnson County was buying those trout. Now they're going to buy them one for this first part of the season, but after this point, we're going to buy those trout, and so therefore they have to buy our trout permit instead of buying the county's trout permit. So it will definitely increase some of the revenue that we gain through the permit, and hopefully see a market increase to help us pay for these fish, because they're not cheap, but it is a valuable opportunity that gives some people some opportunity during the winter times that maybe they wouldn't have, you know, this time of year. So
Jeff, I live on the city lake at Council Grove. Of course, we're a CFAP lake. And say if I had a group that were interested in getting trout, I know Brent Frazee, we've had him on the show several times. He lives on a private lake in Missouri. And, of course, Missouri laws are different from Kansas laws, as, you know, different states have different laws and ways to do things. But would it be possible for a landowner, say, if he wanted to try to put some trout in his pond, or if our lake association here at the city lake here in Council Grove wanted to put trout in it, would that be something we would go through Wildlife and Parks to get done, or just how would that be done?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have a fish stock, you know, that deals with a department-managed property, it'd be a conversation with the fisheries biologist and whether it'd work in that system and you know, having ways to pay for the stocking. You know, right now we're kind of strapped out on our budget, as you can see by some of the shrinkage we've had to do with the program. But, it is possible, but right now we don't have a lot of room for growth. But, you know, it's always a conversation that can be had.
With the trout permits, now the different waters have different permits you need to buy, and just how does that work? And I do know once the season ends, March 31, people can still fish those waters and catch trout without a permit. Is that right, sir?
That's correct. Yeah, we have two types of waters. Type one, we require all anglers that are fishing at those properties during the trout season to have a permit and to possess trout. The type two waters, you know, they might have a little more other winter fishing opportunities besides trout, like they have a crappie fishery or something like that, where we don't want to, you know, make those anglers pay that are you know, enjoying those resources that they've already paid for, you know, through their regular license. So we give them the opportunity at those lakes what we call a type 2 permit, or it's a type 2 water, excuse me, not a permit. And at those places, you just need a trout permit to possess trout, but you can fish there without a trout permit. And I've got all that located on the website that kind of spells out what the different waters are that have the different type 1 or type 2 designation. So whether you need a trout permit to be there or you just need a trout permit to possess fish.
Well, speaking of trout and fishing, is I know just in my limited knowledge with it, trout really like all the different insects, you know, in water, and, you know, you have flies, you have midges, you have different things like that. What's a successful method to use, say, for fall, or is that the same as what you'd fish for trout anytime?
Yeah, you know, these fish are coming from directly from a hatchery environment. So they're, you know, they're pellet-trained fish that are eating, you know, pelleted food, so a lot of times when they get here, they're not acclimated to eating natural foods, so they're gonna key in on something that mimics that pellet, you know, like a power bait. You know, they're always expelling eggs and things like that, and so they're eating their own eggs. So you can use like salmon eggs and things like that. I've heard guys using like corn, you know, it's just something that kind of emulates that food they might see in a hatchery. One thing we've noticed, and some of my fly anglers tell me, you know, is that after a certain point, after they've been in there, you know, a month or 2 or 3 weeks, they start to acclimate and they start looking, you know, keying in on natural food items. So a lot of guys like to come in after those stockings, well after those stockings, so they can, you know, go after them with, you know, using some flies and submersible flies that'll key in on as well. So There are multiple opportunities, you know, different ways to fish for them. But, yeah, spinners work, you know, those kind of things. They all work to some extent. But, yeah, when they first go in, they are usually come in hungry. You know, they don't load them on the truck with a full belly. So they once they come out, they're usually ready to eat. And so a lot of our anglers know that, and they cue in on those stocking dates. They really want to know when those are. And I supply those. I try to keep the first one kind of under, knowing that it'll happen around December 1st. Just because I don't want a bunch of people going out and catching them and like not the, you know, giving our the permit tees the good opportunity. But the subsequent stockings will be, you know, around January 1st and February 1st. And I'll try to, when I know, because during this time of year, you know, we have a lot of weather and we can have ice storms and some of our deliveries can be delayed because of the danger of driving. So if I know and I see the weather window is good, I'll put that up there so everybody knows. It's on the website in the trout program, in our special programs spot in our website, and you can look at each location, and I'll try to get those dates up there before they happen, but I'll for sure have them up there after that stocking happens, and people will know when there's some fresh fish in there.
Well, Jeff, I'm a firm believer in catch and release. Just keep enough for a meal. I'm a believer in harvest. I'm a believer in eating wild game and the fish. I do a lot of programs to where I introduce people how to clean and care for the resource and to get it to the table, whether you want to call it lake to plate or field to fork. Can you share a recipe with us for trout?
Well, you know, I hear a lot of people, you know, they will catch them and they'll smoke them, you know, like it's a more delicate meat, you know, than some of our warm water fishes. So frying them probably isn't the best way to do it, but like baking them, you know, making dips out of them or something like a fish dip or something like that out of them are all like methods. You know, we noticed that we don't have an extreme amount of harvest. We did a survey 3 years ago where we did a face-to-face interviews with people that were actively participating in trout fishing at our trout locations, and we had over 500 different interviews, and we noticed that for the most part, people don't do a lot of harvest. Now, there are people that harvest, so one of the things when we looked to shrink the program, we were thinking about, you know, maybe shrinking the krill to give, you know, more opportunity over a longer period of time. But after the survey, we realized that the take wasn't real high, so still allowing people to have those ability to get five fish, you know, to feed a family, you know, in one event, it was something that we thought is still valuable. And, yeah, I do see there are people that harvest, but, you know, for the mass majority, that's just an, you know, a recreational opportunity. They just enjoy going out and, you know, catching this oddity in Kansas, you know, because it is kind of a fish that, you know, isn't really native, and it's something that people can kind of, you know, whet their appetite on before they go out and fish and want to, you know, go to a neighboring state that has really good trout fisheries, you know. So that we'd like to give that opportunity to people just to have something different and new.
Jeff, I know you're very passionate about your job, and I got a little bit quick one to talk about trout. About yourself, and of course, Watson Outdoors, we have a scholarship for people that want to become biologists, for people that want to be involved with promoting the outdoors, and also through the Outdoor Communicators of Kansas, we also have another scholarship for that. Just in closing, what led you to want to become a fishing biologist and do what you do?
Well, you know, I went to school. I played football, and I was, like, really into athletics. And, you know, science was always a kind of thing I liked. After I played football, I was going down the road to be an athletic trainer, and I realized it was really hard to do that while you're playing football. You get just so much time that you're supposed to be doing clinical hours, you know, being an athletic trainer. So you're playing football and lifting weights and all that good stuff. So I was like, I got to kind of change my path here. And then so I went into biology. And I'm more of a hunter than I am a fisher. So I was studying, you know, wildlife biology. And and then found out, you know, that if you really like hunting, you probably should be a fisheries biologist, because you got more time in the winter in your off season than when you're doing your off your sampling season. So I decided to go down that route, and I got interested in stream fisheries, and so I worked for over 15 years, or almost 20 years, as a stream fisheries biologist around the state, surveying all the native fish and things like that. You know, 7 years as a temporary, and then 10 years as a full-time employee. So, and then I kind of moved in, looking to kind of advance my career and get into administration more. So I saw an opportunity within the fisheries division to, you know, where I could kind of combine some of those interests and, get more people knowing our, you know, funding mechanism, getting more people involved, doing access programs to, you know, bolster our revenue and make us have a better ability to do the things we do to conserve wildlife and fisheries, you know, along those lines. So it's kind of a wiggly path, but I think most of us, that's how we do it.
Yes, sir. Life can throw some of those wiggly paths on us all. Well, Jeff, really appreciate what you do. Thanks for joining us on the show, and good luck with that waterfowl hunting. I might need to talk to you a little bit more about that on another time. So take care, sir. Have a good Thanksgiving.
I think the mallards will be coming down around Thanksgiving.
All right.
Okay, sir.
All right, good interview. KVOA Live and Local, What's In Outdoors, 847. Back with more after this.
You've waited long enough, but hunting season is finally here. Bluestem Farm and Ranch has everything you need for a successful season, from calls and scents to blinds, decoys, and clothing. Stay warm and dry in the best camo and orange, and don't forget the dry layers and boots. Shop the wide selection of everything you need to get outdoors and enjoy a great hunt. Get ready for the field with just one stop to Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
Express Tire is pleased to share these limited-time Polaris specials. November 1st through the 30th, you can get 20% off all off-road vehicle storage, lighting, and audio accessories. It doesn't end there, because on November 26th, the Black Friday specials begin. Be sure to visit ExpressTirePolaris.com to check them out, or stop by 806 East 12th in Emporia. Don't forget, Express Tire will be closed for Thanksgiving at noon on Wednesday, November 26th, and reopen Friday, November 28th. Express Tire and Auto.
Hey, KVOE Live and Local, good morning. It is 8:48. You're tuned in to What's In Outdoors. Phil Totten down in Council Grove. We're going to move it along here. Phil, what you got for us, my friend?
Yes, sir, goodness, where has time gone this morning? I got to talking to that guy about a passion of his and wondering what I could have did different, maybe, what, 60 years ago in life. But, no, I appreciate you, Ron. But, Jeff is very passionate about his job, and this trap program is really cool. I really love what Payrock is doing out there, and of course working with Alec and Daphne, and seeing the young people getting involved with getting kids outdoors, and the education they're giving them is just great. Ron, the fall fishing has really been great. It really has. And you know, the catfishing, of course, crappie are on top of brush piles. And speaking of crappie, my man Joe Bragg with Sump 30 Guide Service there at Milford, he gives me a good fishing report, and he is offering a reduction in fall fishing trips. So if you go to Trump 30 Guide Service, you'll see, you get a hold of Joe, and he'll show you a good time out there. We do have gun shows coming up. I think Emporia had one, and K&W is going to be having one over at Cottonwood Falls. I believe it is this weekend coming up. And when you talk about guns, I always think about Christmas and kids wanting firearms. And I urge parents, if they're not educated themselves about guns, they might want to go to the National Shooting Sports Foundation and look at that webpage, because it has a lot of good information material to talk to kids about owning firearms. Do you want to go to our next break now, Ron?
Let's get the break in. All right. You're tuned in to What's In Outdoors, KVOE. It's 850.
Don't wait until winter hits for new tires. Get an $80 Visa reward card or virtual prepaid card after online submission on purchases of 4 new Michelin passenger or light truck tires at Express Tire and Auto. Check out their selection that can get you through any weather, anytime at 806 East 12th in Emporia, or visit online at ExpressTirePros.com. Select tires only. See store for complete details. Offer ends 12/9/25. Void where prohibited.
Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply has got it.
When it comes to firewood, split it fast and burn it slow. Make putting up firewood easier this winter with a brand new wood splitter from Blue Stem. The 30-ton Oregon Wood Splitter is engineered to handle high tonnage rates for years of trouble-free operation. Or check out DR Trimmer 22-ton Wood Splitter. Any of them will save you a splitting headache. If you need an easy way to keep those fires stoked this winter, Blue Stem's got it. See you at Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
KVOE Live and Local 851, What's in Outdoors, Phil Totten, Council Grove, Studio North this morning. Let's put a wrap on her, Phil, my friend.
Well, Ron, I do want to get with you. Was he known as the Mystery Santa, Steve there. Corbin?
That is the rumor, Phil. Yeah, I have heard that before. Yeah, indeed.
Well, I was a recipient one time of his award.
So was I.
I do want to get with Watson Outdoor with KVOE and see if we can't pick up on Steve's wanting to give. And with that, I want to thank everybody that contributed to the Emporia Community. Emporia Community Foundation Match Day.
Yeah.
Those funds are well used and great organizations. And of course, Watson Outdoors has a fund with that. And so when we can, let's get together and maybe starting the 1st of December, I'd like to give away 2 fishing combos a week.
Ooh, nice.
Up into and through Christmas. So let's get that package together.
Yeah.
And thoughts and prayers for those people in that incident out on the interstate. If you're traveling for Thanksgiving, let the Lord look over you on your travels. Be
All
safe
right.
out there. And
All
have
right.
a good one.
Yeah, Phil, always good to talk to you. Happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Take care, sir.
All right. Phil Totten, What's in Outdoors, brought to you by Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50. If Blue Stem doesn't have it, it probably is not around. And also by Express Tire and Auto on East 12th near the Water Tower. Let John and Jenny and the exceptional crew at Express Tire and Auto take great care of you. It is 8:52, time for a check of the local headlines from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom. Here's Chuck Samples.
All right, thanks, Ron. Good morning, everybody. We're awaiting some final details here about the reported injury crash that happened 7 miles southwest of Emporia on the Kansas Turnpike around 5:15 this morning. But there has been some good news to come with.